as I was listening to those readings myself, I thought, why don't we just take a minute and go over each of them? Why were these readings picked for today? Well, the first one about Barnabas, pretty easy. But it's the one that reveals his character, as I say. And then he and Paul are going to have a big difference of opinion. They finally got it all worked out. And further on in Acts, you know, they're fine. But see, a great number who believed in the Lord, who believed, turned to the Lord. They're up in Antioch. So as they're telling people, what are they telling people? See, they're telling people about Jesus and that he's the Son of God. You know, that he's divine. And he died for us and set us free from sin and gave us a future. Imagine what it would be like if that hadn't happened. What future would we have? None. And so they sent Barnabas up to Antioch to see what was going on from Jerusalem. And when he arrived and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. For he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. And that's our description of Barnabas, right? A large number of people was added to the Lord. And then he, Barnabas, went to Tarsus, to look for Saul. This starts that other sort of revelation of who he is. Saul, the one who put people in prison, stood there and agreed to the killing of Stephen. All of a sudden, he's preaching Christ. Well, that's creating quite a stir. And so evidently he went back to Antioch, where he was from, Paul. He went on to Tarsus, I meant. He went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a large number of people. And it was at Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians, belonging to Christ. And then we have this turning point. The stage is set now. You know, Barnabas is firm. Paul has been miraculously converted, and he's back in his own town. Barnabas goes to get him, brings him to Antioch, you see. And so they're there, and there was Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahen, who was a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch. See where these people are coming from, you see, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, they had like a prayer meeting. You see, the Holy Spirit said, so one of them had a prophetic message. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, not Saul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on them and sent them off. There was no one else to tell that group that Paul and Barnabas should go off and start to preach to the whole world. So the Holy Spirit told them himself. And so that's the gospel. Okay. Now, did you ever stop and think the gospel is preached, is spread by preaching? Now, sometimes the preaching is a good example, but it's spread by preaching. You got to tell people about it. That goes for us, too. Just pray during the day and see if there isn't something you're supposed to say to somebody. or somebody you're supposed to call. And, somebody's sick. I'm praying for you. Or some of the people who come to our, what we call that program. Yes. Find out that, surely some will be getting bored or tempted to say, that's enough, I'm too busy, it's too hot. Who's doing that? Satan. Drive them away before they really come to fall in love with Jesus and give their whole life to Him. Drive them away. They're bored. The teachers are lousy. The food's no good. Whatever. See? Who cares? And so, So, preaching the gospel, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. That's preaching the gospel. I suppose you've heard of these wonders that are being, hundreds, thousands being healed and delivered. Even when people are preaching, it's happening right now in the world. I pray that it happened here. Wouldn't it be great if we had a big rally down in the middle of Gaithersburg and hundreds were healed? People would take notice for their salvation. And so, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Who, me? Am I supposed to do that? Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Yeah. And there are some here whom the Lord will call. Maybe now you're young, but some of you are old enough now to learn what that means. You see. And now look at the rest of this. Don't take any gold or silver or copper for your purse, for your belt. No sack for the journey or a second tunic or sandals or walking stick. When St. Dominic, and their order is called what? The Order of Preachers. Right? O.P. Order of Preachers. Dominic would start walking. And he would put his sandals in his bag. And when he got near town, he'd put them on again. A little penance, a little. Now here's a man, Dominic. I'm moving ahead a few centuries, as you can see. There was this terrible heresy, the Albigensians. And this order of preachers, Ordo Predicatorum, you see, was precisely to save the church from this. And they were called Dominicanes. Well, in Latin, you can put that, Dominicanes, dogs of the Lord. They go bark. Dominicanes. Okay. Don't take any gold, silver, copper, no sack, or sandals, or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. And as you enter a house, this part we can do. As you enter a house, wish it peace. Priests often do that. They just under their breath wish peace to this house. Sometimes it comes back to you, or sometimes you know there's something wrong. Like this couple is contracepting. There's something dead in this house. You just know. And so, if the house is worthy, then let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. That's the instructions on how to preach. Now, maybe we go to some house to play bridge. Nothing wrong with bridge. But if you're a believer, there could be another reason why you're there. Now, it may not be that the Holy Spirit comes and shakes the whole house and they all get baptized. But good if that happened. But just love, warmth, friendship. Preach the gospel. And so that's how Paul and Barnabas set out. And you know, I got to quit pretty soon now, but just think of it. You know, they go into these places, they don't know the language. And nobody knows them. Here are these strangers. If they want to spend a day there, you know, because hospitality in the East, it's inherited from the desert. In the desert, everybody is hospitable to everybody for survival. I can remember sometimes when we were in the desert, the Sinai desert. I remember once, and there was a Bedouin tent, 100 yards away from where we were going. And the woman came out of the tent, you can believe, sent by her husband, I can promise you that, in that culture, with cheese wrapped in bread for us. Just hospitality, you know. It was remarkable. So anyhow, the thing we can get from this, you know, this is Paul and Barnabas. They don't know the language. They don't know, you know, walk into a town, know nobody, and start telling people about Jesus. Boy, if the Holy Spirit's not with you, not much is going to happen. They might drive you out of town as some kind of nut. This is what's going on right now. People are preaching and thousands are being healed. The mercy of God.